Welcome back to the Compass Podcast. I'm Zach Bull, recording our first episode after the Bitcoin 2021 conference in Miami. My voice has not fully recovered from the conference, but this afternoon we're recording a discussion about some new research on the environment and renewable energy for Bitcoin mining with a friend of mine from Slush Pool. Excited to have this conversation. Excited to have you listen to it. Let's jump right in.
I hope that you enjoyed this episode. If you do, please consider subscribing and leaving a review on your preferred listening platform. It really helps out the show. The Compass Podcast is presented commercial-free by Compass, the number one Bitcoin mining marketplace. If you want to get started mining Bitcoin, source hard-to-find ASICs, or find competitively priced hosting space, then check Compass out at compassmining.io. And now, on to the show.
Daniel, thanks so much for coming on the show today. I'm excited to chat with you about some stuff you've published recently. Thanks for taking the time to chat with me for a bit.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Zach. It's good to be here, and it was good meeting you recently in person.
Yeah, as this is our first episode coming back from the conference. As you and probably our audience can tell, my voice hasn't fully recovered yet. It was a pretty long but very fun week. Before we jump, I guess, into what I want to talk about today, anything stick out to you in particular with regards to mining from the conference we were just at?
Yeah, a lot of things, actually. I would say the two biggest things that stuck out was, one, there was a huge number of people with backgrounds in energy who were coming to us to talk about Bitcoin mining because they are aware of different opportunities with whether it's stranded energy sources or just cheap energy in general, where like they got into Bitcoin, they understood Bitcoin, and then they immediately made the progression to like, okay, Bitcoin mining needs to be the next play. So it was really interesting to see the amount of people interested from the energy side of the things. And then the second thing was, there was a lot of people like coming from straight from your guys' booth at Compass over to the Brains booth, and like people who are getting into it on the retail side. But like for the past couple of years, it's been kind of telling people like, yeah, if you're a retail miner, there is no, like, it doesn't really make sense to even try to become a retail miner at this point, unless you're somewhere where you have really, really cheap or practically free power, which certainly is not many places in the United States and the developed world. And now, like, we can actually tell people, yeah, it does make sense. If you can get the cheap enough hosting, you can get access to the hardware, which would otherwise be super difficult. And then you can use some of our products even to optimize further, and you can be competitive with miners that have massive economies of scale. So yeah, two really cool trends there.
Yeah, that's actually a great point. We had hundreds, probably even like thousands of conversations with individuals at the conference at our Compass booth, and all of them were pretty excited and some pretty surprised that you could mine competitively with one or two or five machines. But also probably more relevant to the conversation we're about to have about energy. I also did notice a lot of people, I guess, who introduced themselves in conversations as having backgrounds in sort of, I guess, what you might just call traditional energy markets. And over the past 1 or 2 or 3 years, Bitcoin mining has piqued their interest, and they're making that sort of switch or entering that part of the market, which is pretty exciting. I mean, it's cool to see some longtime Bitcoin companies building energy-focused solutions for Bitcoin mining. But when you have sort of the talent coming the other way as well from energy into Bitcoin, that's a pretty strong signal that for sort of bullish and, infrastructure developments, I guess. But on that same vein, what I want to talk about today is something you recently published called Economics of Bitcoin Mining with Solar Energy. And I don't want to give sort of too much away. I have some questions as we sort of go through what you wrote about here. But we don't really hear much about like solar energy and Bitcoin mining, which, as you sort of hint, was part of the motivation for you sort of digging into this topic. But beyond that, or if you can just speak to that a little bit more, like what prompted you to research and write about solar powered mining?
Yeah, so part of it is that I've been doing the content at Brains for a couple of years now. And a lot of the stuff that we've been doing has been kind of more directly focused on like our products and presenting it in ways that people can understand the value of things like firmware optimizations and using Slush Pool and the various other things that we're doing. And I feel like I kind of exhausted those topics. So I've been looking for a while into like, how can I start doing more general research? And we talked about this even when you were back at CoinDesk, that even though the mining industry, I would say, is much less opaque than it was even a year ago, because of we've all had to educate ourselves because of all the energy FUD and whatnot. Nonetheless, it's still there's very little deep research on various things. And not that my piece is particularly deep research, but it was just trying to shed some light on this particular topic of solar mining that I felt like this was being increasingly mentioned whenever people were bringing up the topic of like renewable energy and Bitcoin mining. It was very frequent that people would say wind and solar. And from my background, I was kind of thinking, okay, wind, yeah, maybe that makes sense. We know some people who at least have wind as a big part of their mix. But solar is like, I didn't see how that would work. So then when I saw the Square and ARK Invest paper that came out, I think that was a little over a month ago, I was like, okay, I read the paper and I was like, okay, this is really interesting, because they're talking about a scale at which I've never even considered solar as a viable thing, because, you know, with we know of people who are mining with solar panels like on the roof on their house, but that's a totally different case, because you're storing excess power in the batteries, and then you're like running a couple of S9s or whatever it may be, like some cheap hardware that isn't the most efficient, but it doesn't matter, because basically instead of selling your energy back to the grid for what wouldn't be a great price, you can make a little bit more money by mining Bitcoin with it. But the Square and ARK Invest paper, which I recommend people read, it is very interesting. But it basically makes the case that you could scale a solar farm to power like a very large grid on its own if you overbuild it to the extent that you're producing enough excess power during the sunny hours that you can actually use the battery power that you're storing to continue powering the grid when it's dark outside or on overcast days and what have you. Yeah, I read that, and then I didn't have access to Microsoft Excel, which is what their model was based on. So I couldn't look into it deeper for a little while until I finally got access to Excel. And then when I saw the numbers there, it prompted me, okay, like they've done a lot of the work for me to be able to do the analysis that I would want to do, the economic side of things, because I have no background in solar energy. I don't know how like the whole batteries thing. I don't know how you would make the decision when to mine, when to store it in batteries, and when to send it to the grid. But they did all of that stuff for me. So all I have to do is like look at the mining numbers and plug that into the calculations that I know how to do. So basically their paper enabled me to do this analysis. And so that's what prompted me to finally do it.
That's really cool. Yeah. I'll echo your encouragement to go read the Square mining energy mix paper. Pretty long publication, but worth a read. I can't say I've read every single word of it, but I have skimmed it when they first published, and it was it's definitely worth a read. But you're speaking about solar energy on sort of a large scale that Square's sort of described it, places it in this growing trend, or I guess sort of this area of the grid that many more miners than previously have been are sort of focusing on, sort of intermittent mining, where you don't have machines online 24/7, but you sort of have mining as a non-mission critical application for power consumption that sort of comes on and offline as the grid is able to manage that power demand. And in many cases, sort of this non-mission critical demand for energy is seen as a resource that can actually improve the integrity of the grid. And is generally beneficial. But do you see sort of this intermittent solar powered mining as sort of something that can be maybe widely used on the scale that Square and some of the analysis you looked at on your own through them are sort of envisioning? Or is this maybe a little bit more, will it maybe stay a little bit more hypothetical in the short to midterm? As miners focus on other more easily accessible and scalable power sources. Like, what are your general thoughts there?
Yeah, so I actually spoke to several people at the conference who are looking into various solar mining applications. that are decently sized, like several megawatts and up. And I want to work on a follow-up piece now because of those conversations I've had, because talking to people, like basically my article was explaining the economics for that one particular application that I had the data from, the white paper from Square and Arc from. So I could just plug in that data and like run the numbers with those particular circumstances. But since what I found was more or less that didn't make a lot of sense to include Bitcoin mining in that application, what I wanted to do as a follow-up, and I plan to do it, is like, how would you make it more viable economically? How would you make it how would you make it make more sense? And a few ways that you can do that, that people actually talk to me about, that people who are considering including solar, is one, like when you don't have uptime from the surplus solar being generated, you can get uptime for the machines from another source, whether that be buying it from the grid, which is the most likely thing that you would do. And that makes it a lot more viable for a couple of reasons, actually. One is the thing that I focused on in the article a lot, which is the uptime. And basically what that was talking about is that you're spending a certain amount of money on the initial purchase of the hardware and whatever infrastructure you need to start mining. And that's going to be a very significant sum. It's going to change depending on market conditions with the hardware. Like right now we're seeing maybe the hardware prices will come down a lot because Chinese miners are shipping their hardware out to elsewhere in the world. And probably some of them will not be able to find capacity where they can actually plug those miners in. So they're going to be willing to sell them. And so maybe that will change the supply crunch that we've seen on the hardware side of things, mm-hmm. and make it cheaper to procure hardware. But nonetheless, like with current hardware prices, even somebody that has their machines running, let's say 24/7 for a full year, probably isn't going to break even on that hardware purchase until the very end of that first year, if not earlier on in the second year. So when you start talking about if you're only using solar, then most likely you're pushing your payback period out quite a bit. And in the event that difficulty were staying even this entire time, maybe you're only pushing out your payback period by 2x. Like maybe instead of 10 months, it's 20 months. And that's pretty acceptable, because then you're still going to get a long lifetime of profitable mining with that hardware afterwards. But the issue is that, of course, we expect difficulty to go up. We don't know exactly how much, but based on historical trends, it's been going up about like 8.5% per month since 2017. So assuming that price goes up, which we all expect it will long term, then we should also expect difficulty will keep going up. And in that event, your CapEx break-even point is not just scaled linearly, where if you have 50% uptime, you break even two times slower. Instead, it starts to get extended further and further and further, because the difficulty going up means that you're mining less and less profitably over time with that same hardware. So it is very key to have a way of increasing your uptime. There's two obvious ways to do it. One is using grid energy when you don't have the surplus solar, and the other is using some of the energy from the batteries. So if you're producing a ton of solar when it's sunny out, and then you store a bunch of it in the batteries, maybe you're sending it to the grid for 8 to 12 hours a day, and then you're divvying up the rest of the power that's stored in the batteries, like some going towards mining to preserve the uptime and another portion going towards continuing to supply the grid. But if you don't have something like that, then I don't think it will make a lot of sense to have solar. So that's the biggest thing, is just you have to improve uptime significantly from the 35 to 50% range to like probably minimum somewhere in the 75% range, but most likely even higher than that would make it viable.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Towards the end of the article, or I guess midway through, you mentioned that it's very difficult to be profitable in like the 30 to 40 to 50% uptime range, which is kind of interesting, I guess. I mean, it makes sense reading through your analysis, but it's kind of interesting because of the cost of electricity that you're considering from Square and Arc's data. Sort of the average solar power cost per kilowatt hour comes to about 3.5 cents, which across sort of energy markets and especially mining energy cost considerations is relatively cheap. But you still need a pretty high uptime to be able to ROI on your operation expenses relatively quickly. And I think I don't remember reading it in your piece, what you mentioned about sort of supplementing the solar energy with some other source of energy during what you might say is like the solar power downtime to keep the machines running is a very interesting solution. I guess that would make sense if you have sort of energy coming in at a similar cost to the solar power that you would use intermittently, or maybe if you're motivated just from maybe a more environmental angle to integrate solar into your mining operations when it's available to sort of reduce your carbon footprint. Either one of those scenarios might be advantageous to a particular miner. But the average solar cost you were considering was pretty cheap, but there definitely needs to be some work or at least some additional consideration to alternate sources of energy or a plan to have that solar power provided consistently to preserve or to achieve sort of high uptime for these mining operations.
Right, exactly. And it would be pretty easy to do from a financial perspective to figure out how profitable that would be with a mix of solar and and grid energy or using the batteries. Because, and I did one little analysis in the article where I just considered the solar energy free. And I think that's probably the way that somebody who's looking at investing in a project like this would view it. Is like, this is solar energy that otherwise we're not going to be able to monetize because we're overproducing and the storage is not cost effective enough to expand the battery capacity to have all of this extra solar. So let's just consider it as basically free energy for mining. And even when I did that calculation, you still needed Bitcoin price to go up in order for that to end up paying off and ROIing in a reasonable time frame on the hardware purchase. So like uptime is really, really significant variable there. But what you could do to figure out whether or not it's viable with supposing that you're purchasing energy from the grid, from a utility, probably it's going to be much more expensive than even 3.5 cents per kilowatt hour.
Yeah.
But you could still just figure out, okay, I have 35 or 50% uptime with my solar. I'm going to consider that to be free or whatever, 1 cent, 2 cents. And then my price on the utility company is going to be 6.5, 7 cents. So that balances out to somewhere in the like 3.5, 4 range. That's still really good. Like if you have 3.5 or 4 cent power, then you're going to be competitive for a long time, most likely. So from an economics perspective, it definitely does make more sense if you can achieve that higher uptime. It's just that then that's a little bit like if you like look purely from the narrative perspective of it, it doesn't look as good to say, well, we have a partially solar powered and partially grid powered Bitcoin mining farm. It looks much nicer to say we have a fully solar powered Bitcoin mining farm. So I think that the narrative clashes a little bit with the economics, and that's going to be the interesting thing to see how it works out. I think some people will go more of the narrative way, and other people will try out like let's be as competitive as we can possibly be. And obviously, I would expect the people who are in mining to try to maximize the amount of Bitcoin that they mine are most likely to be successful long term.
Yeah, I don't want something you just said to go unnoticed. That is that your analysis of practically or literally free energy, sort of in the hypothetical you analyzed, still being ultimately unprofitable for a solar powered mining operation just because of the uptime complication. And I think at least my impression from reading what you wrote is there. I mean, by and large, a super majority of Bitcoin miners just want cheap energy. They wouldn't mine cheap energy if it was also clean, but very few of them would sort of pay more for cheaper energy and sort of ignore a cheaper, sort of less clean or non-renewable energy source. And when you look at solar mining, or when we look at your sort of analysis of the solar mining data, it looks, even when it's free, it looks to be a little bit tricky to sort of get the economics to align well. And at the very least, there's a lot of extra steps required to make a blended solar power or fully solar powered operation just sort of work at the end of the day when you crunch the numbers, which sort of makes me wonder, do you have any sort of expectation, like over the next, let's say 3 to 5 years, as sort of the energy conversation is already super, super red hot issue and probably will be for some time. Do you have any expectation that solar power in and of itself will grow to become, to sort of represent a significant share of Bitcoin mining's energy blend? Or maybe will these sort of tricky economics that we've been discussing make it more of just like a niche or marginal energy source for a very small subset of miners?
My random guess, like not a super well-educated guess at this point, would be that we will see a lot of people try some sort of solar mining operation. Blockstream just announced that they're going to do a like pilot project on a pretty small scale. I think it's 1 megawatt thing. So that's quite a bit different from like 1 megawatt is not going to be really substantial in network hash rate terms, like relative to 150 exahash that barely shows up. But I think that there will be larger operations that will try it. And I think we'll see people try from both directions, both the like solar in isolation and solar augmented with grid energy the rest of the time. How much of the actual like total network hash rate will be powered by solar? I would expect to stay a pretty small amount. Like right now, I would guess it's less than 1%. I don't know for sure. Like maybe there's some large solar farms in China that I'm unaware of or something, but I would expect it's a very small amount right now, other than perhaps people who are already augmenting with solar during peak hours, but otherwise mining with some other energy source. In the next couple of years, I would think that enough people are going to try doing this that it will become like maybe in the 2 to 5% range for a little while. But the other big part of this is that in fiat terms, if you just ignore like trying to maximize the amount of Bitcoin you mine, and you look at this purely from maybe like a traditional finance background of like, can we make this whole solar project make more sense just purely in dollar or whatever fiat currency terms? Well, if Bitcoin price goes up as much as a lot of us expect it to, then even these operations with low uptime are going to perform extremely, extremely well. Hopefully they hold some of the Bitcoin so that they get upside on like having mined it as opposed to just using it as a way to get more fiat cash flow, but cashing out every day or whatever it may be. But even if they are cashing out every single day, if Bitcoin price is going up enough and going up faster than the difficulty, then even these operations will make money with 35% uptime or 50% uptime or whatever. It's just they're making a lot less money than they could have made if they were going for max competitive advantages on the Bitcoin mining front. So I would think there's probably a lot of people coming from the energy side of the equation that maybe aren't so bullish on Bitcoin and Bitcoin mining, and they're okay with just maximizing, trying to make the fiat side of the equation look a little more desirable. And so that's why I think we probably will see this tried many times in different scenarios. Just the long-term viability, it depends a lot on like, are we going to see another bear market similar to 2018, where I would estimate that at some point during that bear market in December 2018, most likely, we saw a capitulation on hash rate where a significant portion dropped off. I think that was when price dropped below 4K. So that indicates that probably for a lot of miners, their cost of production was somewhere in that 3 to 4K range, and that's where they had to shut off. So now cost of production for miners, like average across the industry, is probably in the 10 to 15K range, maybe a little higher. So there's still a lot of space for difficulty to grow, even if price doesn't grow. But if, let's say that price grows for a little while and then people keep investing more and more into hardware and building out more infrastructure for mining, and we eventually see 300 exahash or 350, 400 exahash in a year and a half or 2 years from now, and then price drops from there substantially, like more than 50%, then we might see like, okay, how viable are these solar operations really when the competition actually heats up? Because right now it's really not ultra competitive because price has outpaced difficulty growth for, it's been like more than a year of that at least.
Yeah, that's a great point on sort of how you're denominating the profitability of your mining operations in Bitcoin or in fiat. And maybe like maybe it's possible that sort of as market cycles continue and as solar powered mining operations may become a little bit more popular or at least more widely tested, we'll see them maybe as sort of like a bull market phenomenon and sort of like a cyclical trend, similar to like this bull run. We've seen a lot of people turning on a bunch of old S9s and mining at a decently profitable rates. Maybe we'll see something similar for the trend of solar or other more tricky renewable energy sources that that might not be as profitable or profitable at all during bearish cycles. I don't know. Interesting thought experiment, I guess, though. But regardless, sort of the cost of these solar or these renewable energy sources now, there's a strong narrative, somewhat polarizing narrative that actually Square and ARK, who published this report, subscribe to, namely that Bitcoin mining directly incentivizes sort of the development and cost reduction of renewable energy sources. Do you sort of agree with this like broader narrative that things like wind and solar and even like nuclear and geothermal energy, the development and cost are sort of respectively increased and decreased by continued growth in Bitcoin mining?
Yeah, I absolutely subscribe to it. I think so. In Texas, there's the ERCOT thing, and there's a really, really strong value for being able to consume or stop consuming energy like with the snap of a finger, because the typical curtailment applications, it's like if you're smelting aluminum or doing something really industrial like that, you kind of have to know pretty far ahead of time how much energy you're going to consume, and then you have a really large or a long ramp up period and a long ramp down period. But because Bitcoin miners are controlled by software, you can just basically run a little command or click a button somewhere and just turn off thousands of ASICs at a time. So it's definitely the best controllable load resource that exists. And then the fact that it's location independent as well, the fact that it's pretty easy to go set up a mining operation just about anywhere, as long as you can get internet access and probably access to like some labor that's capable of taking care of maintaining an operation, then you can do it just about anywhere. And then you have a ton of flexibility about when you're consuming power. So I definitely think it makes a lot of sense for hydro, it's obvious. It's been done for at least 7 or 8 years in Sichuan, where like more than half of Bitcoin's network hash rate has been there during the wet season. And that's energy in Sichuan that like there's no way for that energy to go anywhere else. Like the whole population of the province is only consuming maybe half of it. I think I've heard even less than that, like maybe a quarter of the energy produced by the hydro dams in that region is being consumed by the entire population of that entire province. And so like in those applications, it absolutely makes sense that it improves the economics of building out those energy resources, and it makes the energy production a lot more robust. In the case of Texas, it's another perfect example of you don't want to have your energy production be just a little bit higher than your needs at peak demand, because there are going to be those crazy edge cases where like there's a wild winter storm and even Houston is below freezing, and like you want to have enough robustness and resilience built in that those events are, you can handle those types of crazy edge cases that are unpredictable. And at the same time, you don't want to have a bunch of energy production resources that are just sitting idle for 360 days out of the year, because that's a lot of sunk capital that's not producing anything of value during that time. So like Bitcoin mining fits in there perfectly. I think there's still a question of like, which energy sources is that most ideal for? Like even on the non-renewable side of things, the waste gas is just such an obvious use case for Bitcoin mining that I think it's unstoppable. I think as more oil and gas companies recognize that they have this sunk capital and this stranded energy that they have a really easy opportunity to monetize. Like that's going to be explored, and the amount of hash rate running on waste gas will probably continue to increase. I think hydro is increasing in popularity just about everywhere. I know there's a ton of it in Canada, a ton of it in the Pacific Northwest. Probably there's some in South America as well. Even at the conference, I spoke to a few people in Africa that are looking into monetizing stranded energy resources like waste gas and hydro. So I think as more people learn about Bitcoin and then they make the inevitable leap to understanding that Bitcoin is a way to monetize these energy resources, it's just going to be, it's going to happen everywhere. At least that's I hope that, and I also believe it's strongly going to be the case.
Yeah, I'm mostly with you on that as well. I mean, we see hydro electric power and geothermal energy already constitute a non-insignificant percentage of well, I guess global energy consumption more broadly, but also an even larger fraction of Bitcoin mining's energy market. And I guess some growth some testing of wind powered mining as well. And it seems not unlikely that maybe solar energy will probably grow to similar scales, or at least people will sort of test that possibility, and we'll see how the economics of those mining operations play out. But thanks so much for this super interesting conversation, at least super interesting for me. And I'd bet a large majority of our audience finds it interesting as well. For anyone with further questions, Daniel's on Twitter, but you can also go to brains.com, brains spelled with two I's, and on the blog, just look for the post called The Economics of Bitcoin Mining with Solar Energy. Daniel, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks for having me, Zach. Really appreciate it.
That's a wrap for us at the Compass Podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please subscribe and consider leaving us a 5-star review on your preferred listening platform. Thanks again, everyone. The thoughts and opinions expressed by the hosts and guests on the Compass Podcast are their own and do not represent the opinions of Compass Mining, Inc. None of this content should be considered financial advice.